When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It was a weekend full of football. I hope that you enjoyed the games, but also had some time away. Whatever your weekend was, I hope it was exactly what you needed. Pretty rainy in my neighborhood, and that includes the half marathon that I did on Saturday. But thank you so much for all of your kind words and your support for me, as I struggled with this one. It was tough for a lot of reasons, but I did share a couple photos, and you can find those online at A-Law Radio. Also put one up on our Facebook page. So thank you for your support. You guys are awesome. Thinking a lot about Hurricane Helene's victims, especially in the Carolinas, where there are still hundreds of thousands of people without power, millions of people without power over multiple states and different states of emergencies, with highways that were washed out, and of course, countless trees down and homes and buildings damaged, and people even now in the Asheville, North Carolina area. The last I heard on my drive into work, over 1,000 people unaccounted for. They cannot get the rescue crews into the area because of washed out roads and bridges that have been damaged. And so right now there are a lot of people that are on their own, that are needing help, that are needing rescue, needing food, needing water. And so certainly there have been those types of humanitarian missions, airdrops by helicopter. But thinking about those people who still are waiting for some contact with the outside world, but also those who are dealing with flooding and damage to their property. I have some friends in Georgia who sent photos of their area that was completely ravaged by the storm, with trees down everywhere. She said thousands of trees down in their part of the state of Georgia. And I know that's really the scene in a lot of places, including the Carolinas. So it was good to hear Dave Canales, the head coach of the Panthers, even in the wake of a loss, start his press conference on Sunday after the game against the Bengals by talking about the victims of Helene.
You know, I was just thinking about it and just filled with, you know, just the gratitude of being able to come and play this game when we know there's so much going on out there, you know, all across the Carolinas, and the people that were affected by the weather. You know, we have family members in Asheville, and just talking about the devastation experience there. And so, you know, we come into this game, you know, with just the gift and the blessing of all what we all get to do here, you know. But I wanted to make sure that I mentioned first our hearts and our prayers. Our organization is just behind the relief effort, and another just moment of gratitude for all of our first responders, trying to figure things out, trying to get clean water going, things that we take for granted on a daily basis. But just something that we know that I just want everybody to know that our hearts are with them all as we do this.
The kind words of Dave Canales, thinking about the hurricane's victims and how they can potentially help and reach out. I have no doubt that an organization like the Panthers, as well as other pro sports teams in the area, have the resources and certainly the capital to be able to fund those types of efforts that are needed for the people that are still stranded and, of course, for the rescue efforts. So we think of the first responders and are thankful for them always. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. At A-Law Radio, as I mentioned, also on our Facebook page, you'll be able to find the Monday MVP poll when we finally put it up there. I still have to chew over the various options, but I will say this, through nearly 1 month, we still have a Monday night doubleheader, but through nearly 1 month of the NFL season, little to nothing has been settled, of course, because we've got a long way to go, but also it's just wacky and weird. How about this type of wacky and weird? The Raiders go into Baltimore in week number two. They're trailing by 10 points in the fourth quarter. They rally for a win. Gardner Minshew looks like an above average quarterback, and the Raiders appear to be a force to be reckoned with. Right? Under Antonio Pierce, he's building a culture. They rally for a victory on the road in Baltimore. They leave the Ravens 0-2. Those same Raiders then turn around and go home to host the Carolina Panthers, who have just replaced their young former number one overall pick, Bryce Young, with Andy Dalton. Dalton throws for 300 plus yards, three touchdowns. The Raiders are hapless on offense. And they really never look like they're in the game. Meanwhile, Pierce talks about guys making business decisions, meaning protecting themselves, playing for the future, looking about contracts as opposed to team goals. By the way, he retracted those comments, but it's too late now. Then those Raiders in week number four bounce back, apparently. And in game number four, they're hosting the Browns. Once again, they get in a 10-point hole, this time in the first quarter, only to then rally and hold off the Browns for another win. If that's not wacky and weird, I don't know what is. To me, they epitomize wacky and weird. Where do you see the weird and the wacky in the NFL in the first month? That's our question on this edition of the show. We'll get a spot up on both of our social media sites. Mentioned the Ravens. They were hosting the Buffalo Bills on Sunday night. It did not take long for the King to leave a pretty strong, unforgettable impression.
Two receivers to the left. Here's a handoff. Henry outside the right hash. 15, 20, 25, 30. There goes Henry. Out to midfield. Buffalo 40. Far sideline 30. Henry to the 20. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown Ravens. Derrick Henry on the opening play. Goes 87 yards. And the Ravens have taken a 6-0 lead. Jackson goes under center. Takes the snap back on a play fake. Rolling right. Throws short. Caught by Henry. Racing to the end zone. Touchdown Ravens. A 5-yard touchdown pass from Jackson to Henry, and the Baltimore lead is 13-3. 5 seconds into the second quarter, and an extra point try coming up.
Ryan Radke along with Mike Golick on Westwood One, and Derrick Henry goes over 200 yards between his rushing and his receiving. And I know they tried at the end of the game to get him that last yard so he would have a 200-yard rushing game. Instead, he's got the 87-yard scamper. I'm not sure he was touched on the first offensive snap for the Ravens. On the second drive, he hauls in a 5-yard touchdown catch. And as I say, goes over 200 total yards, two scores. And I read this, but it seems like it can't possibly be true. Maybe you've seen it somewhere as well. I mean, I didn't do the research, but I did read it from the AP. That his 87-yard run was the longest run in Baltimore franchise history. That doesn't seem possible. But, like I said, that's what I read. And so Derrick Henry, the King, he still got it. And before the first half was over, The Ravens, they were still flexing their muscles.
Shotgun snap to Jackson, back to pass. Plenty of time, looking, going deep, right side, got a man wide open. It's Justice Hill, makes the catch, touchdown Ravens. A 19-yard touchdown pass to a wide open Hill. The Baltimore lead is 20-3. Three possessions, three touchdowns. The Ravens have it going tonight in Baltimore.
They definitely did. It was a 21-3 start for the Ravens and really able to limit the Bills in the first half. In fact, they only had 75 yards in the first half. This is the Buffalo Bills offense that looked amazing last week. Now, remember, they had, it wasn't the Thursday night game. They had a Monday game, didn't they? Weren't they? Yes, they were one of the Monday games. They all blend together after a while. But they put 47 points on the Jaguars. And this game was essentially, that game essentially was over at halftime. They scored 34 against the Cardinals in week one, and then on the road at Miami in week two, put up 31. And so they had not failed to score under 30 points in the first 3 weeks of the season and were undefeated. But they run into the Ravens in Baltimore. They can't stop the run by Baltimore, and instead, they're sorely limited to just 75 yards before halftime. Now, Baltimore had a slow start to the second half, and it appeared as though the Bills might be able to rally. And three scores, that's nothing in an NFL game in the second half. Yeah, it seemed like the Bills were grabbing momentum.
Ravens defense in need of a play. They need that play that rekindles the fire. Josh Allen sets up wide, gets the ball, goes to throw it. It's knocked out of his hands. Loose ball at the 45-yard line, and the Ravens have recovered. It's Kyle Williams coming up with the recovery.
Jerry Sandusky with the call on Ravens radio. Yeah, this was a really interesting moment because Curtis Samuel took the direct snap, only to chuck it to Josh Allen, who then kind of sidesteps to the left, cocks his arm to throw, only to have the ball knocked out of his hands from behind by Kyle Van Noy. And so the Ravens played it perfectly. That trick play, quote unquote, leads to a fumble and a recovery by Kyle Hamilton. Ultimately, the Ravens defense up for the challenge. Three sacks of Josh Allen, the fumble that was the takeaway, and only 10 points total. As for the Ravens, kind of looked like they were rushing against the Cowboys' defense.
First and goal with the Bills' nine. Lamar keeps it. Read option running to the right. Gets outside the numbers. Touchdown, Ravens! Lamar Jackson extends the Ravens' lead, and this crowd has come back to life.
Once again, it's Jerry Sandusky on Ravens radio. It was one of those games, and you didn't have to wait till the end to know this, but it was one of those games that when even if things don't work out according to plan, even when the plan is blown up, it still results in a net positive for Baltimore.
Jackson takes the snap, turns, hands it off. Henry straight ahead, lost the ball. It's recovered in the end zone by who? There is a massive pile. Rosengarten was there, had a chance at it. He lost it. Who came away with it is the question.
Ugly things happen in those piles, Ryan.
The Ravens have the ball. Patrick Ricard has recovered it.
Recovered by the offense in the end zone. Touchdown.
And it will be a Ravens touchdown.
We got a bunch of guys that believe, and they give glory where it's supposed to be given. You know, they give glory to God and to each other. They work hard, and they have each other's backs, and that's all it is right now. Okay, so whatever else is said or written, it doesn't matter. Matter of fact, we don't want to listen to the good stuff if there is any good stuff. We're not interested in hearing it, you know. We just have to go to work. We got a big game next week, and we got to get ready for it.
Did you guys see how the Ravens coaching staff, John Harbaugh, began its post-game press conference? Jack Harbaugh, the father of John and Jim, goes into the press room where the Ravens press corps and probably visiting press corps is waiting, so both Ravens and Bills press corps. And he starts leading their favorite chant, the favorite family chant of who's got it better than us? And the only person that really yells is John, who's right behind his dad. Nobody. And Jack says he was a little upset as he's walking off. There's a camera on him and he's a little upset, not at John, but at the fact that the media isn't responding, which of course it's not the media's job to respond. But if you haven't seen that, I'm pretty sure it's on the Ravens Twitter. We may be able to retweet it from our account at Amy After Hours. So yes, Derrick Henry fumbles trying to get that final yard to go over 200 rushing for the game. And even when he does so, Patrick Ricard covers it, and he is able to get the touchdown himself. 35-10 is the final. So you want to talk about wacky and weird. What happened to that Bills offense? Well, partly the Ravens are able to control the ball, and so they control the game. A bit of an edge when it came to time of possession, but 4-for-4 in the red zone, 271 rushing yards. So in two of their last three games, they have had roughly 275 yards rushing. That is crazy, but also amazing. And the offensive line deserves a ton of credit. But what about the addition of Derrick Henry to a backfield that already featured Lamar Jackson?
Man, Derrick Henry, you know, he opened up the play-action game. You know, guys running to the ball, trying to stop him from getting started in the backfield. And our offensive line just did a great job of giving Derrick lanes. Receivers did a great job as well, you know, blocking down the field and letting Derrick do his things. Shout out to the tight ends as well.
It shows what a group of men is capable of, a group of people is capable of, when they just put their heads down, they don't worry about what people are saying, and they decide that they're going to go to work every day. They're going to meet. They're going to work on football, and they're going to practice the way you're supposed to practice. And when you do that as a football team, you have a chance to improve, and we have done that. Now we know we are just getting better.
So after starting out 0-2, the Ravens are now back to even in a, you want to talk about wacky and weird division, that would be the AFC North. The Bills fall from the ranks of the undefeated, as did the Steelers in the North. And so now it's Steelers 3-1, Ravens 2-2, Browns and Bengals 1-3. Though it feels like the Bengals may be on the rise, whereas the Browns, I'm not sure how much hope there is there. We'll see. I love their defense, but the offense is a disaster. Maybe Nick Chubb returns and they're able to find some kind of a spark. So the AFC North all clumped together, but it's Steelers and Ravens at the top. The Bills 3-1. The Jets lose a disastrous game at home in the rain against the Broncos on Sunday. So we'll get to that. Bills, Jets at 2-2. Dolphins, of course, are 1-2. We don't know when Tua might be back, though his intent is to return and play football. They will start Tyler Huntley on Monday because we've, again, got that doubleheader coming up on Monday when the Dolphins host the Titans, and there is a possibility for a win there if Huntley can just take advantage of the weapons around him. And then the Patriots, they've dropped three in a row now after winning their opener against the Bengals and eliminating a vast majority of people from their various survivor pools. As for the Bills, really couldn't get a whole lot working. 16-for-29 is Josh Allen, 180 yards, and the turnover.
They had a good plan, a good pressure plan. They made more plays than we did, and you know, it was evident right away. They had more urgency than we did, and that's something we'll correct. Not everything was bad in this game. I don't want us to come away from this saying, you know, we're the worst, and lots to learn from. I'm glad this happened early in the season, so we can correct things.
We have to do things better fundamentally, execution-wise, and it's not just one position. We as a collective, as a team, have to fundamentally do a better job and physically do a better job.
Sean McDermott after Josh Allen. There is just one undefeated team left in the AFC, and the one undefeated in the NFC that's moved to 4-0. So we'll find out about the Seahawks on Monday night because they've got the Lions. But there are only two teams at this point who survived to 4-0. The Vikings on the road at the Packers. We'll get to them before this hour is done. And the Chiefs, who still are not playing their best football, far from it. Patrick Mahomes said he sounded like a broken record on Sunday when he was talking about the Kansas City offense, though they did get Travis Kelce a lot more involved in this game. And it came with a cost. So we'll get to their latest injury that may be season ending for that Chiefs offense. That's coming up next. But love to connect with you after NFL Sunday week 4 at A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. We'll get our Monday MVP poll up, but we are pledging to get to every game on this edition of the show, as we always do. We, by the way, have at least part of the baseball postseason schedule, and so we'll make sure we share what we know, but still two more games to come on Monday in the National League. The Mets and the Braves have a doubleheader scheduled for Monday, so they're going to have to play past this final day of the regular season, which is what Sunday was supposed to be. But a built-in day on Monday, because of Helene, those games were rained out, or they were postponed, I should say, and there's a doubleheader on Monday. If the Braves and Mets split, they both end up in the postseason. And the Diamondbacks are eliminated. If one of them wins both games, so let's just say the Braves win both games, then it would be Braves and Diamondbacks. But if Braves and Mets split, they're both in. I'm not sure what incentive that leaves for game number two. I don't know why anybody would want to help the Diamondbacks. Of course, those two teams don't like each other, so maybe there's that, the whole idea of eliminating your rival. But for the most part, the playoffs are set. They are in the American League, so we can get to that. 855-212-4227 at A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Hope you enjoyed your weekend. Good to get back together with you again. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Sky Moore moving short to the right is Mahomes. Gunning it long. Coming down the near side. The pass is caught. Touchdown! Kansas City! A long bomb! And the Chiefs finally get there! A 54-yard bomb to Xavier Worthy. Patrick Mahomes, a perfect throw, burning Christian Fulton.
It just takes a lot of work. We have a lot of good group of guys on our team. We got Rasheed, we got Juju, we got guys like Jay Watt, Trav, even now we got Kareem. So just having that explosion on the offense is a lot of mouths to feed. So just making the plays when it's my turn is the key.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
I almost couldn't believe this, but we have not seen Patrick Mahomes throw a touchdown over 50 yards through the air in 30 games until today. Not since December of 22 had Mahomes gone deep to the tune of a 50-yard bomb for one of his receivers. But when the Chiefs needed it, they were struggling against the Chargers in Los Angeles.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Angeles at SoFi Stadium put themselves in a 10-0 hole with back-to-back turnovers. They desperately needed a big play to change how they felt on offense and obviously to score. And they do that with this bomb to Xavier Worthy. And the rookie just outruns the defense and gets underneath that ball and hauls it in stride for the TD. Mitch Holtis with the call on Chiefs Radio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Yeah, back-to-back turnovers to start the game for Kansas City, and those led to the Chargers 10 points. Carson Steele, the big game last week on Sunday Night Football. Remember, because his sister got married, but he had to miss it because he was working. Well, of course, they reward him. They need him because Isaiah Pacheco is injured, has a broken leg, and he fumbles. Chargers turn around and put together a 10-play drive, and their rookie, Ladd McConkey, is in for a 7-yard touchdown catch. And then it goes from bad to worse for the Chiefs.
Play action fake, a left side throw. It's a high overthrown and intercepted. Second takeaway in as many drives for the Chargers and up the sideline. And it's now, the ball's out, and I think the Chiefs have it back at the 19. An interception thrown by Mahomes. It was picked off by Christian Fulton. And now the Chiefs get it back. And Rashee Rice is down with an injury. He is down helmet first. Arching his back.
Pretty tough for the Kansas City Chiefs. Not only does Mahomes airmail a ball over the head of his receiver, but it ends up that as Rashee is going to punch the ball away from the guy who picked it off. All right, so this is kind of a bang-bang type of thing. Christian Fulton hauls in the interception. He starts running down the sideline. Rashee Rice takes a circuitous route, comes behind him, punches the ball free. But then as Rashee is going forward, Mahomes comes barreling in, almost turns into a bit of a bowling ball. So he goes down low to try to knock Fulton off his feet. But in doing so, he actually rams right into Rashee Rice. And you could see on the video, and you can hear it there with Mitch Holthus, one of Rashee's legs seemed to hyperextend, and right away he was down in a heap grabbing his knee. And Andy Reid couldn't even sugarcoat it following the game.
Rashee will have his knee checked out tomorrow with an MRI, and it's his knee. And I think, we'll have to wait and see, but I'm sure it's not as good a news as we want. So we'll see how it goes.
I think more than anything, it's just trying to get everybody kind of settled back down, including myself. I think at the beginning of the game in general, we were trying to do too much. And that's why we had the fumble and then the interception. But the guys stepped up and filled as good as they can the role that he has in our offense, which is a big one. And so all we can do now is kind of go back to the basics and try to get guys and opportunities to succeed.
Yeah, this is a tough one for the Chiefs because, as I said, they already lost Isaiah Pacheco. They hadn't gotten a ton of contribution from Travis Kelce, mostly because the defense of other teams was locking him down. But now Rashee Rice, who's been the bell cow for them. They had just re-signed Kareem Hunt and put him on the active roster. He was out there both in the passing game and rushing. He was really the top carrier for the Chiefs. But without Rice, their offense loses another element of explosiveness. Pacheco is expected to return later in the season, but the fear with Rashee is a torn ACL. They likely know that even now, though they'll wait for an MRI to confirm. But that's why Andy Reid says this is not the news that we want. Chiefs move to 4-0, yet another game in which they only win by a single score. But this came at a cost. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I mentioned that the Chiefs were able to flip the script with that Xavier Worthy touchdown. And really, they dominated the second quarter. After the Chargers had those first 10 points, they had more three and outs the rest of the way than they did anything else. The Chargers mustered just 224 yards total and never scored again after those early points off turnovers. The Chiefs able to limit J.K. Dobbins to just 32 yards on the 14 carries. And while the Chiefs, again, left points out there and had their own issues trying to find consistency on offense, they did what they had to do.
10-10 tie. Handoff goes to Perine. Behind right guard, trying to press forward. A bunch of bodies into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. Samaje Perine, his first touchdown as a Kansas City Chief. And the Chiefs lead by their largest first time in the game at 16-10.
It's kind of funny to hear Holthus say Kareem Hunt's first touchdown as a Chief when he started his career with the Chiefs. And I know he went to Cleveland for a while. Kansas City cut him because of his personal issues. And the Chiefs were upset with him because he lied to them about some trouble that he was in. But now they brought him back and they needed him as soon as they put him on the active roster. The state of the offense is still, I would say, maudlin. It's mediocre at best. I've heard Patrick Mahomes say it over and over again, and Andy Reid echoing the same.
We're making way too many mistakes. We're driving. We get these drives rolling and then shoot ourselves in the foot. And once you do that, the percentages go way down on you having a successful drive and scoring points. So we've got to take care of that.
He did say, though, that he's not worried about Patrick Mahomes. He's seen Mahomes rally before. Of course, he doesn't love the mistakes, but he just wants Mahomes to keep firing. And Kareem Hunt, 14 carries, 69 yards, couple of catches as well. They're going to need him moving forward. Travis Kelce, even though he's not made a humongous impact yet, he had a couple of big catches in this one, 7 for 89 yards. But he also eclipses the record previously owned by Tony Gonzalez. 922 catches for Travis Kelce is the new Chiefs record for a tight end. So another plateau for him, and he says he wants to continue playing. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. As for Justin Herbert and the Chargers, he was really limited on that ankle most of the game. It seemed like every time he got hit, he was hobbling on his way back up.
You know, I thought it held up well. You know, it took a couple hits, but for the most part, the integrity felt pretty good. So glad to make it through that one.
Like I said, Justin was, we got to get him just a little bit more time. But he's, some of the throws he made, some of the plays he made were, you know, were incredible. And so got to look at it, how we respond.
Couple of sacks of Herbert, but the Chiefs were all up in his grill. 10 quarterback hits and not enough time for him to do a whole lot of anything or be able to wait for his receivers to get downfield or for the play to unfold. Herbert and the Chargers really did a whole lot of nothing after that opening quarter. And for him to have just 179 yards. He did have a touchdown in there. The issue is that they are going to need a lot more from him because everything else around him has changed. They didn't get much from the run game or the passing game. And even though they were able to spot themselves 10 points at home, it's just not enough. And to have nothing after that, wah, 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 kind of falls flat.
I just have to execute on third down. You got to score in the red zone, and you know those penalties really hurt us. So it's accumulation of those things, and if they were able to prevent those or limit those from happening, you know that's what you saw in the first drive.
9 penalty flags for the Chargers. They were just 1 for 2 in the red zone. Those same thing for Kansas City, and 4 of 14 on third and fourth down. So unable to come up with the big plays, and the Chiefs' defense does it once again. But major concerns for the offense, considering what they've lost and how they continue to just scrape by, though they are 4-0. And you are what your record says you are. 4-0 is 4-0. So that's the last team standing in the AFC. In the NFC, the Minnesota Vikings did it again. And this time on the road against a North opponent that had Jordan Love back on the field. We'll get to Vikings and Packers straight ahead. 855-212-4227 at A-Law Radio and then also on our Facebook page. Glad to have you with us. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
This report is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. Let's kick off with Sunday Night Football in Baltimore, where just about everything went the Ravens' way.
Jackson takes the snap, turns, hands it off. Henry straight ahead, lost the ball. It's recovered in the end zone by who? There is a massive pile. Rosengarten was there, had a chance at it. He lost it. Who came away with it is the question.
Ugly things happen in those piles, Ryan.
The Ravens have the ball. Patrick Ricard has recovered it.
Recovered by the offense in the end zone. Touchdown.
And it will be a Ravens touchdown.
Ryan Ratke and Mike Golick on Westwood One. The Ravens beat the Bills 35-10. Lamar Jackson with 2 touchdown passes and that touchdown run. Derrick Henry rushing 24 times for 199 yards and a touchdown. Elsewhere, Chiefs 17, Chargers 10, Raiders 20, Browns 16, the Bucks over the Eagles 33-16, Commanders 42, Cardinals 14, Niners beat the Patriots 30-13, Broncos 10, Jets 9, the Colts beat the Steelers 27-24, Texans 24, Jaguars 20, Bengals get their first win, beat the Panthers 34-24, Bears 24, Rams 18, Vikings over the Packers 31-29, and the Falcons beat the Saints 26-24. Now to baseball, the Diamondbacks over the Padres 11-2, Mets beat the Brewers 5-0, Royals over the Braves 4-2. Mets and Braves will play a doubleheader Monday afternoon in Atlanta starting at 1:10 Eastern. Each team needs one win to clinch a playoff spot. The Diamondbacks need a sweep from either the Braves or the Mets to clinch a playoff spot of their own. The Marlins announcing manager Skip Schumacher will not return next season. The Twins announce Rocco Baldelli will return as manager next season. WNBA playoffs, the Liberty over the Aces 87-77. The Sun beat the Lynx 73-70. And the United States won the President's Cup for the 10th straight time. I'm Peter Schwartz.
Anderson slot left. Brandon Powell outside of him. Josh Oliver in motion to the right. Darnold from the shotgun. Another good pocket to the end zone. Touchdown! Welcome back, Jordan Addison. The Minnesota Vikings have a 6-0 lead. Sam Darnold has thrown 9 touchdowns this year, and that's the first for Jordan Addison. It clicks from 29. Aaron Jones, the tailback. Jordan Addison in motion. They're going to hand it to him on a jet sweep. Makes a Packer miss at the 5. Walks into the end zone. Touchdown! The first rushing touchdown of Jordan Addison's career runs the Minnesota Vikings to a 20-0 lead, and the blowout may be on.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
A pair of Jordans return for this Vikings-Packers clash at Lambeau Field. Jordan Love was back just a couple weeks after spraining his PCL. Remember, he did that in Brazil. Or his MCL, MCL, PCL, one of those knee ligaments. He did it right at the end of that game against the Eagles in Brazil. So wasn't able to escape Brazil without a serious injury. But as it turns out, Malik Willis only needed for a couple starts before Jordan Love was back, taking on the undefeated Vikings. And boy, did they start out like a bright purple storm. Jordan Addison also back. And as Minnesota is posting touchdowns on 4 of its first 5 possessions, you've got an Addison reception from Sam Darnold, 29 yards for a score, and then a 7-yard rushing TD. And you hear the calls there with Paul Allen on the Vikings radio network. And there were 14 points off a pair of Jordan Love interceptions. And so as Love is struggling, maybe shaking off the rust, and the offense is getting comfortable again, the Vikings race out to a 28-0 lead. Sam Darnold, by the way, leads the NFL in touchdown passes. He was the first one to 10. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Justin Jefferson also coming away with a touchdown, kind of high-stepping it into the end zone. So yeah, 28-0. The Vikings are crushing the Packers, but it doesn't come easy. And you could tell when the fans at Lambeau Field were getting into it, when they were fired up. Really, the only blip is that for the Vikings in that first half is that Jalen Naylor muffed a punt with 30 seconds left. But that did allow Love to find Jaden Reed for a touchdown. So maybe that was the first signs of life. And then the Packers defense holds the Vikes scoreless in the third. Darnold has a couple of turnovers. And there are a few short drives in there, which leads to more opportunities for those Packers.
Fake handoff, quick throw, left side. Tucker Kraft breaks a tackle to the 10, to the 5, to the pylon. Touchdown! Touchdown, Tucker Kraft!
Dontavian Wicks help him get that final couple yards. And Tucker just running tough.
It's a ball game at Lambeau Field. 28-20 Minnesota, pending the extra point.
That's the call with Wayne Larrivee on Packers Radio. But instead of going for the PAT, they go for 2. I think it was Charles Davis who was on this game, and he did not love that call on Fox. And so they end up with the 28-22 deficit. But the Vikings are hanging tough. They put another field goal on the board. And then, for some reason, Jordan Love takes this deep shot into the end zone, which gets picked off. And that's also followed by a Tucker Kraft fumble. So they kind of shoot themselves in the foot. They come all the way back. They pull within a score. But then they have a pair of turnovers. And yeah, they pull within a respectable number. Minnesota can't run out the clock. So they've got one more Love touchdown pass in there. Ultimately, though, just not enough time. As the Vikings are able to cover up the onside kick attempt by the Packers. I think the moral of the story is don't fall into a 4-touchdown hole on your own field. Jordan does have some pretty gaudy passing numbers, nearly 400 yards through the air with 4 touchdowns, but he also throws 3 interceptions. And yes, The Vikings did turn the ball over. Darnold trying to make things happen, but Kevin O'Connell will take it.
He lets it fly, and Josh Oliver falls on it. Next question. The Minnesota Vikings have defeated the Green Bay Packers 31-29 to improve to 4-0. 4-K-O. 4-0.
Can I say it?
No, you stepped on my touchdown call, but go ahead.
Hey, Larrabee, there's your dagger.
You can say that. I'm not.
I love Sam being aggressive because he's feeling me trying to stay aggressive. The lack of scoring in the second half really wasn't about us, you know, taking our foot off the gas or anything. They did some things to adjust.
So Kevin O'Connell was okay with what he saw from Sam Darnold because he wants him to be an extension of that aggressive mentality on the field. Although I like what O'Connell had to say about not allowing the Vikings to drop their guard or to relax at all.
I'm going to continue to not allow that to be a factor in anything we do with inside the walls of our organization, because we've been purposefully working and driven from the very first time I stood in front of these guys in training camp. My belief of them, they're not learning things about me and my belief of our team just because the results are coming. It's just not my makeup.
We believe in each other more than anyone else believes in us. So, you know, it's a really, really good formula. But again, we got to continue to learn from the things that we didn't do in this game. You know, the way that they were able to come back. You know, like I said, on offense, I feel like we could have been a lot better in the second half, and just got to continue to learn and grow.
As for Aaron Jones, he has 139 total yards, mostly on the ground. No touchdowns, though. So what about the Lambeau leap?
I came here and got what I wanted. So, but I did get my Lambeau leap in, so I got a 2-for-1. Just didn't score, but I still got the Lambeau leap. So it was special.
He was not going to miss the opportunity. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Packers are now 2-2. And what about Jordan Love and the knee?
I hope not. You know, I hope it'll, you know, continue to heal and get better. But, you know, at this moment, yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that's there. And, you know, it's one of those things. It's football, you know. We play a physical sport, and there's injuries, and you got to fight through some stuff.
Hoping not to re-injure the knee, even though he's out there just a couple of weeks after that knee sprain. So, yeah, the wacky and the weird. The Vikings? At 4-0, on top of the NFC North. But there are no teams with losing records in that division, so maybe it will replace the AFC North as the toughest division in football, the most competitive division in football. The Lions will play on Monday night. They've got the Seahawks, who are still undefeated. So we could emerge from this first month with three teams that are 4-0. By the way, byes start next week. I think there are four teams on bye next week, so they'll start to cycle through. But yes, we could have three teams at 4-0, or the Lions could move to 3-1. So you'd have Vikings 4-0, Lions 3-1, and then both Packers and Bears are now at 2-2. Great divisional matchups in the NFL this weekend. Did you see the Falcons versus the Saints? Apparently, their 111th meeting in the history of their rivalry. We also had the Texans and the Jaguars that went down to the wire. Yeah, still a couple of teams. Still one team, couple of teams that do not have wins. Jags, one of them. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.